Somebody said, well, I thought Genesis was the oldest. Well, Genesis gives us the details of history, but it's not the oldest as far as the writing being put down into onto paper or to be given to us. Job probably is the first book to be inspired and to be written and given to us, and it's listed here in the scriptures. And Job was a very interesting book. I'm thinking about sometime near future maybe just taking the book of Job and do a series through that. There are some very important, very interesting things in this book that we skip over a lot of times. When you talk about Job, everybody always thinks about the patience of Job, thinks about the problems that Job had, the loss of everything that he had in chapter 1, chapter 2. But the book of Job itself has a lot of things that is given to us. Job had three friends, or at least they were called friends, and they accused Job of all kind of problems in his life as to why he had the loss of his family. And they accused him of being a miserable individual. And I was reading some this afternoon, chapter 16, verse 1. Job answers one of those men that are accusing him. And he said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. And so Job, he tells them right there what he thinks. They're miserable comforters. I guess they get no comfort from the things they were accusing him of. And they accused him of some very serious things, which Job was not guilty of. But Job had his responses. If you read through the book of Job, you'll find that there are discourses, speeches, I guess we would call them, that these friends made to Job. They come to him and gave him the indication they're going to try to comfort him, try to help him. He's lost everything, so he probably needs some friends and probably needs some comfort. But when they got finished, they accused him of being a terrible sinner, being a terrible man, and that's why God had judged him. And certainly we know that was not the reason. And when Job got finished, and when God got finished with Job, they knew the truth. So it's an interesting discourse. The book of Job is a running story and very interesting to read. Job has a lot of questions in it that we've used a lot of different times. I jotted down just two or three of them just a little while ago. In chapter 2, verse number 9, Job's wife says, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity?" All these things, bad things have come to Job. And his wife says, "Are you still going to have your character, your integrity? Are you going to still be an upright man? Are you going to be what you have claimed to be?" And of course, Job's wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" And so he got no comfort from her. He got no comfort from his friends. And so she asked him, "Do you still have your integrity?" In chapter 14, verse 4, the question is asked, "Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean?" And the answer there is not one. We can't take something that is unclean and make it clean. Only God can do that. And only God can give the redemption that will cleanse us and make us fit for heaven. In chapter 14, verse 14, the verse is used, and this verse is used a lot of times in funeral services. It says, "If a man die, shall he live again?" And Job gives a wonderful testimony there in the giving that question later on. He says, "I know my Redeemer liveth, and I shall see him in that day." He says, "Though my skin is destroyed," he says, "I shall see him in my flesh." And so Job, before anything was ever said about redemption, before anything was written about regeneration, Job knew that he would see his God. He had a close fellowship with the Lord. Chapter number 38, verse 2 says, "Who is this that darkeneth by words without knowledge?" So a lot of interesting questions are given here and that's just a few of them, and gives you some interesting thoughts there. But I want us to read in chapter 25, just verse number 4, and it is a question, very important question, and this is by a question that's asked by one of the friends of Job, Bildad, and he says in verse number 4, "How then can a man be justified with God?" That's an interesting question. How can a man be justified with God? really what is asked there is, how can a man be right with God? How can he be pure and holy, righteous? And justification is a biblical doctrine that goes all the way from the Old Testament into the New Testament. I think the word justified, just that one word, is used almost 50 times, and it's used three or four times, maybe five times in the book of Job. Then we have justification, we have justifies, and a lot of different versions of that. So it's a biblical doctrine of justification. And justified, this man asked, how can a man be justified with God? Well, there's only one way that can happen, and that's to have the gospel. When you think of justification, being justified, that means you get in right relationship to it. It means you're made perfect. If you justify something in your, whether it be your checkbook or whether it be some other things that you're taking, if you justify it, that means you make sure that it is right. It is it's really a term, and it's an accounting term of justifying columns, justifying those things, making them work out right. And when you dealing with figures and numbers and money, you better make it sure it's justified. You better make sure it's right. And so it's a term that has a lot of different meanings. And justification certainly was conformable to the law, because when Abraham went out from the Lord and God gave him certain things, the Bible says that it was accounted unto him for righteousness, that he knew the Lord and he had right relationship with God. That meant he was justified. When Moses received the law, there were certain things in the commandments that were given. There's more than just 10, by the way. There's many commandments that God gave. And in those commandments, there's some things about being made right with God and how to have the right relationship with the Lord. And some people get so confused and say, well, if I keep the 10 commandments, I'll be justified. No. The Ten Commandments tells us we can't be justified. It tells us we cannot live according to God's standard and God's way. And so those commandments are, Paul says in the New Testament, those commandments are schoolmaster. They're like a schoolteacher that show us and teach us that we cannot do what we think we can do through our flesh. And so justification is conformable to the law. It's the guilt and the punishment is removed, and we have remission of sins, and it's an act of free grace. God gives us His grace, His mercy, whereby we can have salvation. He pardons our sins. He makes us a new creature in Christ, and we are made righteous by the atonement, the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. And so this man asked, how then can a man be justified? So I want us to look at that just for a little bit, justification. And in justification, you have to deal with grace. Of course, we know the grace of God is that favor that the Lord's put upon us that we did not work for. We cannot obtain it by our ingenuity, by our mentality. We cannot obtain the grace of God by our personality or our money. The grace of the Lord is a gift of God. It's a free gift that God gives to all that will believe upon Him and will trust Him. And so when you're talking about justified and justification, you have to be dealing with the subject of that we are saved by grace. The Scripture tells us in the book of Ephesians in the New Testament that we are saved by grace. We're saved by grace through faith, not of our works, not of ourselves, not of our works, lest any man should boast or would be able to boast and say, look what I have done. So tonight I want us to just look at this thing of grace and justified, how we are justified. How can a man be justified? How can a man be right with God? How can a man be right with the Lord of heaven and to be sure that one day he will go to heaven and have salvation forever and forever? So we know Romans chapter 3. Turn there if you would. Romans chapter 3, and we will look here at this to begin with, justification, and already been talking about this first point. But in the book of Romans chapter 3, Paul writes to the Roman Christians. He says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24, justified freely by His grace. Tonight we are saved. If we are children of God, we are saved on our road to heaven, on our way to heaven, because we have been justified, and it's a free gift, and it's by the grace of the Lord. We have our blunders. We make our mistakes. We have our problems. We have those things that come against us. And many times we try to leave the grace of God out of the equation of how to serve the Lord and how to be right with God. There are many churches, there are many denominations, there are many religions tonight that have no idea. They talk about heaven, they talk about going to heaven, but they do not know how to be justified. They do not understand the scriptural process that God gives us. And the scripture says here that we are justified by His grace, and it's a free gift. The word justified, I've told this many times. I heard someone say one time that justified, just simply you can make the statement that we become just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, never sinned. God looks at us as a Christian. He does not see our sin. Our sins have been forgiven. Our sins have been thrown away. They've been cast away from ourselves. Even though we remember them, the Lord says He remembers them no more. Even though we recognize them, even though we have problems with past life and past problems, past sins, and the devil, he knows our past, and he'll bring it up before us, and he'll accuse us, and he'll make us feel terrible of what we used to be. But God doesn't see that because He has forgiven us. Thank God tonight we are forgiven of the Lord. We are justified of God, and His grace came to us one day, and we realize that it's a free gift from the Lord that we can have. And if we would accept that, if we would believe that, then we can have an assurance and knowledge, knowing that one day when we leave this world, we're going to heaven. Now, nobody knows when we're leaving. That lady today that's on the motorcycle that I was telling you about a moment ago, she had no idea when she got up this morning this would be her last day of life. Now, we may get up tomorrow and may be one of us. We have no promise of tomorrow. We have no promise of the next hour. We really don't have another promise of the next minute. Well, we can bring it down a little closer. We don't have a promise of the next 30 seconds. We don't have a promise of the next second. And so we need to make sure, we need to know that we have been made right with God. We need to realize that we are justified by the grace of the Lord. Salvation is by grace. And these are things that we know and we understand. But I want to look at these. There's four different things tonight about being justified that the Scripture gives to us. And they're all different, but yet they are not different. They work together. And they work together for good for us. And the first one here, as we read in Romans 3:24, being justified freely by His grace. Notice what it's through the redemption that we have in Christ Jesus. We have been redeemed. We have a song, I'm redeemed. I've been redeemed. That means we've been bought, back. We have been cashed in. We have been redeemed by the things that God has given to us, and it's all because of His wonderful grace that He bestows upon us. Now, that's the first thing that we deal with in Romans 3:24. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse number 8 and 9, book of Romans is a book of teaching justification. A lot of things in Romans about being justified. Romans 3:24 says we're justified by His grace. Now, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, there's another aspect or another part of being justified. Verse number 8 says, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified, what's it say there? By His blood. By His blood we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now we're saved by grace, but if it was not for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no grace. And here we find that we are saved, and the dawning of salvation comes by the grace of God. It dawns on us, we realize that we need God, that we need something that we don't have, and He offers that to us. But the gospel is declared and given to us by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. From Genesis all the way through the book of Revelation, you find the principle and you find the the type of shedding of blood being for remission of sin. The Bible says if there's no shedding of blood, there is no remission, there's no forgiveness. And so if blood was not shed in the Old Testament, the sins of the people of Israel were not pushed forward. That's why they went once a year on the Day of Atonement. They had their sacrifice. Every family had a lamb for a family. They'd put that lamb up on the 10th or 14th day of the month. They'd keep that lamb up, make sure it was perfect, make sure it had no blemishes. They would kill the lamb. They'd shed the blood, and the high priest would take that behind the veil there in the Holy of Holies and offer it as a sacrifice. And it was by the blood of that lamb that the sins of Israel were pushed forward. Now, they wasn't forgiven. They were covered. They were atoned. The word atonement means a covering. The word atonement, really, atonement is an Old Testament thought more than it is New Testament. We talk about it. We preach about it. But the word really for New Testament believers is not atonement. Our sins have not been covered. Our sins have been taken away. But in the Old Testament, they were covered. The Bible says when Noah built the ark, they pitched it within and without with pitch. And that word pitch there is the same word that's translated atonement somewhere else in the Old Testament, because it just means it's covered. It's a covering. And so here we find that Paul says that we have been justified by His blood, not by the blood of bulls and goats and animals. Hebrews tells us that. They're not sufficient. They cannot take away our sin, but His blood. Thank God He shed His blood, and therefore we have eternal life because it's through His blood. So we're justified by grace, but we're justified because Jesus went to Calvary. He died upon the rugged, cruel cross, and He took our sins upon Himself, and He died for us, and we believe that, we trust Him, and He takes away our sin. Thank God for being justified by His blood. A lot of folks don't want to talk about blood. They don't want to sing about blood. They don't want to think about the blood of Christ. But Jesus had to bleed. It was not just His death. It was the shedding of His blood. It was not just that He died. And of course, He died because His blood was shed. But if He'd have died any other way, it wouldn't have taken our sins. But He had to die, had to shed blood. And it's by the shedding of blood that we have forgiveness, or the remission of sin. So we're saved by grace, we're justified by grace, and we have redemption through the grace of the Lord, and we have redemption. We have been now justified by His blood, and He shall save us from wrath. The wrath of God comes upon all people other than people that believe upon Him. We're studying the book of the Revelation, that is the wrath of God upon this earth in the latter days, in the last days. And out front a while ago, we decided we was going to vote tonight and just vote for the rapture to take place tonight. I don't know it doing good with the Lord, but we thought we might try that. We're wanting to leave here. As a child of God, as a Christian, we desire to be with the Lord. And if we could vote, we'd done it a long time ago. That's one time we can't do. But we are saved from the wrath that is to come. And Revelation gives us the wrath that is to come. And we're getting into this next Sunday and the next two or three weeks. We'll have a break or two in there with the camp meeting things. But in the next two or three lessons, you're going to see some real wrath from the Lord. And you think it's been bad up to this point, it really gets much worse in the next few chapters. And so we are saved, and we are justified by His blood, and we're saved from wrath. Thank God. I don't want to undergo the wrath of God. I don't want to be in that. I'm glad I'm going to be gone from here, and we're going to be gathered unto Him as a believer, as a Christian. We're going to be taken to where He is, that we may there be also forever and forever. So there's two things. We're justified by grace, and we're justified by His blood. Now, go back just a few verses, Romans chapter number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, there's another aspect of it. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice everything so far has been dealing with Christ. Romans 3:24, redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:8, justified by His blood, talking about Christ, no wrath through Him. Romans 5:1, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only way you're going to have peace with God, you've got to go through Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is our go-between. The Bible says there's one mediator between God and man, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. He's the mediator of all that will come unto Him. He takes our case. He pleads our case. And so we're justified by faith. Well, I thought you said we're justified by grace. We are. Well, I thought you said we're justified by blood. We are. But we're also justified by faith. The grace of God is offered to us. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for us. And by faith, we accept that and we're saved. By not figuring it out. Anybody figure out salvation? You're smarter than God. If you can figure out how God, why God did it or how God does it, we trust it by faith. You put your key in your car tonight, you turned it, you didn't think a thing about it, unless you've had trouble with it lately. You never think a thing about it not starting because you have faith that it's going to start. Now, we got a blue van out there. I have no faith in it all. I mean, none at all. Somebody said, we're going to take that on ball trips. I said, not me driving it. We're not. We've had it to the, I don't know how many times. They can't find out what's wrong with it. And I had it towed down there one time. They got it off the tow truck, started right up. He kept it for 2 weeks. It started every day. He brings it back here the next day. Guess what? It wouldn't start. And so we have a problem. There's something wrong with that van. And so I have no faith in that thing. He put the last time he said, I think I got it fixed. He put something in it. He didn't even charge. He said nothing. And so I took it out dry and did real well. Took it out again, done pretty good. Took it out again. I pulled in the driveway. It stopped right back there just like he turned the key off. I have no faith in that van. Faith is something that we exercise in something that we trust. I'm glad I trust the Lord more than I can that van. I put my key in the car. I never think about, well, maybe it'll start, unless you've had troubles. Well, I've never had any trouble with the Lord, and I know He'll take care of everything I need. We're justified by the grace of God through the shed blood, and through our faith we believe. We trust Him. We follow Him. So we are justified by faith, and that gives us peace with God. I'm glad I have peace with God. No longer am I under the wrath of the Lord. No longer is He angry at me. No longer is He going to judge me. I'm His child and I have peace with God. And in my heart I have the peace of God that lives in my soul. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Always through Him. And so we find these different aspects. So this Bildad, this contemptible friend, he had heard Job's talk and Job had answered some things. He said, then how can a man be justified? How can a man be right with God? How can a person go to heaven? You know, that's a question that many, many people ask every day. How can I go to heaven? You get on the phone tonight and you just randomly call in the phone book and ask people how they know they go to heaven. You'll get 100 different answers. People don't know. This book here tells us we can know. If I leave this world tonight, if I go out somewhere tomorrow or the next day and have an accident or whatever happens, if my heart stops, if I die, whatever way it is, I have peace with God. I have assurance. I have faith that I'll end up in heaven. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I don't maybe so. By the Word of God, if I do what God says, and I have, then I know so. Am I perfect? No. Are you perfect? No. We're still sinners. We still have this flesh. We deal with it every day. And boy, sometimes the flesh wins. Sometimes the battle is strong, and it wins, and we falter, and we fail, and we sin, and we say, Dear God, forgive me. Our sins are already forgiven, but He wants us to realize that what we've done is against Him. And so we're justified by putting our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, how can you go to heaven just believing in a man? Just believing what Jesus did? Just believing because the book says it can, and by faith I trust it. You can't explain it. You can't put it down 1, 2, 3, and you can't diagram it. You can't figure it out. You just have to believe it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by Word of God. And we have faith by doing that. And so we're justified. It's all by His grace. Praise the Lord. We are justified, and it's all by His blood. Praise the Lord. We're justified, and it's all by our faith in Him. If we exercise no faith, the grace and the blood won't have any effect upon us. I'm glad there's an effective salvation. And by faith we believe, we trust, we call upon Him. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. What a wonderful statement. By faith. We could go tonight to the book of Hebrews and go to the faith chapter, chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Evidence of things not yet seen. Can't explain it, can't see it, just know it's going to happen. That's faith. And that's how we're justified, by our faith in Him. Then James chapter 2. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 24. Now you can't read this verse. No verse is of private interpretation. It has to go along with everything else. And by the way, the Scripture never contradicts itself. It always tells the same story. James chapter 2, verse number 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Is that a contradiction? Romans 5 says we're justified by faith. Romans 3, Romans 2, 8 and 9 says faith alone. James 2 says not by faith only. Is there a contradiction? Is there a problem? We see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith is what is the deliverer of our salvation. We believe, we trust, we have faith in the Son of God, and we know in our heart that we are saved. But nobody else does. Nobody knows I'm saved unless I do something to show them that I have a changed heart. Therefore, my works come in. See then how that by works a man is justified. I justify myself to my generation by what I do. My neighbors, they see, your neighbors, they see how we live, what we do, how we serve God, how we go to church, the things we do, our partners at work, our friends at work, our family, they see a change in our life. That's our works that's justifying us in their eyes. So we're justified by works to the whole world. Now, a lot of people say they're saved and their works don't say too much. And our works and our talk ought to be the same. Somebody said a long time ago, some people's walkie-walkie don't go with their talkie-talkie. You know who said that? You know who said that, Brother Earl? You remember? And Miss Sue Downs said that. I heard her say that 100 times. Their walkie-walkie don't go with their talkie-talkie. And that's pretty, I mean, it's a catchy little thing, but that's pretty true. There's some people, their walk doesn't go along with their talk. But James tells us here that if we're going to be justified in the eyes of people, then our walk and our talk need to be good. It doesn't mean I go to church on Sunday and then Monday I live like the devil. That's walkie-walkie, talkie-talkie, not matching. That means that if I'm a Christian on Sunday, then I'm a Christian on Monday. If I'm a Christian on Wednesday, then I'm a Christian on Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sunday we come together to worship the Lord. And we prove to the world by our works that we are justified. We prove to everybody around us there's a change in their life. I'll guarantee you that person that has been saved very long, there are people that will notice there's a difference in your life. Something's different. They may not understand it. They may not know it. They may not be able to explain it, but there's something different about that person. They don't talk like they used to talk. They don't do what they used to do. They don't live the way they used to live. You know what it is? What's happening? You're being justified by your works. Now, we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But we're justified in the eyes of people by what we do. Sometimes Baptist people have belittled work so much that we think we can just live any way we want to, do what we want to do, we're okay. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us that we need to work for Him. Work for the night is coming, because it's coming a day when no man shall work. So the Scripture demands that we saved by grace. The Scripture demands that Jesus had to die. The Scripture demands that we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe just as high demand is given upon our personal walk with God, our personal life, it demands that we live for Him because He's died for us. Amen. Obedience comes from trust. Outcome is revealed in time. We're saved by the grace and faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. People look at us, people say, they're different. I found this poem a long time ago. It's entitled Justified. Before creation I was known to have heaven a place. 'Twas the good pleasure of His will, I'm justified by grace. In due time Christ on Calvary died. There flowed the crimson flood, which makes the foulest white as snow. I'm justified by His blood. God raised Him up, this is the pledge. Should evil doubtings lower, His resurrection quells each fear. I'm justified by His power. The Holy Spirit guided me to what the Scripture saith. I grasped the truth, Jesus died for me. I'm justified by faith. Now, if you doubt that I am Christ, and one suspicion lurks, I'll show you by deeds that I am His. I'm justified by works. I praise the Lord till all of Him, the grace, the faith, the blood, the resurrection power, the works, I'm justified by God. May God help us to realize tonight what we have. It's a free gift of the Lord. Justified. Been made right with God. I couldn't get right with God in my own. I couldn't buy it. Not enough money, not enough gold, not enough power. But I'm glad to thank the Lord He died one day, and I'm justified, I'm saved because of Him. Blessed be His name for what He has done for you and I as believers. Now we are commissioned, we are told. We're really commanded of the Lord that we go tell the world that Jesus saves. Well, how can we do that? Well, we tell our neighbors, we tell our friends, we invite, we tell folks, we send missionaries, we do everything that we can do to get the gospel out. There's many, many false doctrines, there's many false teachers, many things are going on in our world. But nothing is stronger than truth. The power of the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. And then he says, it's to all that will believe. Praise the Lord tonight. If people believe, if people will trust, put their faith in, there's power in the blood. Power to save. Ready to go to heaven because of what He's done for me. Thank God tonight. And I believe all of us tonight that are Christians, we can say, praise the Lord, I'm saved. Praise the Lord, I know my name's written in the Lamb's book. I know I'm going to heaven. Have that assurance from the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight.